Welcome to the Weekly Green, a KXCI mini-program on environmental topics from southern Arizona and the rest of the universe. Today we are joined by Brad Lancaster, who's the co-founder of Desert Harvesters. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks. Great to be here.
We're going to talk about native bean trees. It's native bean tree harvesting. What are native bean trees?
They're the native leguminous trees indigenous to this area. So the native velvet mesquite tree, the screwbean mesquite tree, foothills and blue palo verde trees, and the desert ironwood tree are 3 to 4 great examples that produce food that we can use, not just food for the wildlife. And the amazing thing is these trees are growing throughout our community, but so few people know how to harvest and process their bounty into delicious food. And so that's what Desert Harvesters is all about the end of this month and into June.
You're going to have a wild food feast on May 31st.
Exactly. It'll be a celebration of place, an evening of story, food, drink, and music. So we'll have live music. There'll be wild food dishes you can sample, wild food drinks, and we'll have a presentation on the potential of all of this and how people can engage with it. It kicks off our season. And then as we get into June, we will have guided harvest tours at the Santa Cruz River Farmers Market, doing this with the Community Food Bank, where we'll take people out into the Mercado neighborhood and show them how to find the best tasting mesquite pods, because with mesquites, every tree tastes different. There's a huge variability.
How would I know, except for trying, of course, that the tree in my front yard is okay for food?
Well, the best way is to taste. So we recommend everyone taste before you pick. And then we have all these samples so people can see the wide variety of flavors, because sometimes people taste from their own tree. They're like, oh, it's my own tree. I love it. But they've never tasted any other tree. And then they taste others and they realize, wow, my tree is actually pretty bad. So then they learn how to find the better tasting trees and to harvest from them. Another way of picking is you can see birds will strip the pods of the best tasting trees. That's a visual cue we can look for.
Do you have mesquite tastings?
Yeah, we've got all that going on. We want people to educate their palate so that they can see the diversity. And some people, they'll find, wow, there's sweet and sour pods. So they might go to the sweet and sour tree for a certain dish they want to cook up. And then they might go for just the plain old sweet for another dish they want to cook up. Or maybe they want the one that's got the nutty flavor or the one that's got kind of the lemony flavor. There's so much variety. And the trees will hold true to flavor year after year. So we can go back to that tree for that flavor characteristic. But then we want to avoid the four nasties. We want to avoid bitter, chalky, drying, or burning. And unfortunately, those are very typical amongst our non-native mesquites and sometimes some of the natives. So we want to avoid those trees because no matter how good a cook you are, the flavor and the quality of the pod you pick, that will carry through to the final product.
If I taste the pods of the mesquite in my front yard and it turns out to be burning, am I going to be sick?
No, you won't be sick, but you won't delight in the experience. But there is a problem of getting sick if we don't harvest the mesquite pods at the right time of the year. We need to harvest our mesquite pods before the summer rains because aflatoxins can form on leguminous crops, form on wheat and stuff. They're very common.
Which is a fungus.
Yeah.
A mold.
It's a mold that's associated with a fungus. Anytime you've got a crop that's sweet, grown in a hot area, that gets wet, there's a problem. But if you remove any of those variables, it's not an issue. If we harvest our sweet pods in the hot summer before the rains, before they get wet, not a problem. And if there's a freakish early rain on green pods, don't worry. Green pods aren't sweet, and they still have their immune system all intact. So in all our educational events, we'll be showing people how to do things right. And it's not just mesquite. We'll also be showing people how to harvest the flowers and the seeds of palo verdes and the best way to do that to get the best flavors. We'll be doing the same thing with desert ironwood trees, which is our native peanut tree. You can harvest the ironwood seeds green and full size and prepare them like edamame, or you can harvest them fully mature and roast them and create a trail mix, or sprout them and enjoy them in the form of microgreens. And the great thing about all this stuff, it requires no imported water to irrigate it. It's a wonderful, sustainable plant. They provide their own fertilizer through the associated life forms on the root zone, which help them fix nitrogen. So they're like fertilizer factories. They can thrive on just our natural rainfall alone if we plant these trees next to water harvesting earthworks. That's another big thing we're going to be pushing in all our education. How do we not only harvest these wild foods, but how do we grow them in a sustainable way where we live, work, and play? We're really enhancing our individual lives, the community, and the watershed all at the same time. Here's another thing that's great about all this stuff. This is actually enhancing our local economy, because we're finding that we can harvest mesquite pods grown from trees irrigated with street runoff in our neighborhoods and make $25 an hour. We pick and mill those pods into edible flour, which you can sell for $14 a pound. So that's great, like neighborhood economic engines. And then there's all kinds of people that come into town from elsewhere to come to our mesquite milling fiesta, the event at La Cocina, where we're going to have the wild foods and the presentation and the live music and the harvest tours. This shows the hunger people have for stuff that's unique to place, like a food, especially a food that enhances the place. They want to see how to do likewise. So much so that we've been helping folks in Mexico and Chihuahua and Alpine, Texas. They're starting their own desert harvesters groups.
And if you go to some exotic country, you do want to enjoy the local food, so why not here?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Wild Food Festival is going to be at La Cocina.
Yep, May 31st from 5 to 10 p.m. And people can get all the info at our website, desertharvesters.org. Other events that we've got is June 16th. We're going to have the guided native food tree harvest tours at the Santa Cruz River Farmers Market starting at 4 p.m. We will also be having on June 23rd the 14th annual Mesquite Milling and Wild Foods Fiesta at the Santa Cruz River Farmers Market. Again, that'll be starting at 4 p.m. June 24th, we'll be having a happy hour at Tap and Bottle with proceeds going to benefit Desert Harvesters on June 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. And one thing we're doing that's new this year is we will be showing people how to collect the highest quality mesquite seeds from mesquite trees that have not crossed with non-native mesquites. The native mesquite tree attracts over 60 native pollinators, where non-native only attracts 12 because the native wildlife's co-evolved with the blooming times and the pollen counts and all that. And we find the natives are better tasting. But we're going beyond that. We're also going to select seed from the native trees that have pre-monsoon ripening times, have the best tasting flavors, and have the densest pod clusters for a really fast, efficient harvest. And we're then hoping to supply this to the nursery trade and individuals that'll grow out higher quality trees that we can then plant throughout our community to enhance future harvests. So look to our website for the yet-to-be-determined dates of the seed harvesting expeditions.
For more information, go to desertharvesters.org. Thanks so much, Brad.
You bet. Thank you.
This is Dan Lout for the Weekly Green. Please leave your suggestions, your comments, and any tips you may have on environmental issues on the Weekly Green Facebook page. And thank you for listening.